Hi, Movie Breakers. Welcome to Kalaviivari Film Festival, which just started yesterday. We already have our first director here, not from the main competition, because his film already was in competition at Sundance, where I did not see it, because there were just too many films at Sundance. But now I saw it, and it's really a wonderful work. Hot Water, and I'm here with Ramzi Bashur, the director and screenwriter. Hi, Ramzi.
Good to be here. Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We just had our first screening. It was it's interesting for me to play this film in different cities all over the world and see how audiences respond to the same movie.
Your story is a road movie with a mother and a son. It's in part inspired by experiences you had. It also reflects on your own family history.
I grew up in Beirut, Lebanon. I was born in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. My mother is from Indiana, United States, and my father is Syrian. And so this big, you know, multicultural, mixed international background, I ended up being in Beirut. And so this film, this is my first feature film as a writer-director. It largely kind of pulls from my experience becoming acquainted with the United States for the first time, much like the lead character in the film.
We have two leads, mother who is originally from Lebanon and her son has grown up in the USA. So it's like this first generation thing where there is this gap between parents and child that have a very different cultural background and also a very different language background, which is addressed in the film. Is that something from your own biography?
Yes, there's a term I came across that I think really encapsulates it well. They call this sort of thing third culture kids, grow up in a place where neither of their parents are from. Father grew up in a small town in Syria called Safita. And although his mother was Lebanese, he never got the citizenship. And my mother, of course, across the ocean, grew up in a small town in southern Indiana called Bloomington. I grew up in Beirut, this Mediterranean city, the capital of Lebanon, a place where neither of them is from. I do associate with that experience of being a third culture kid.
Your film premiered in Sundance, and in some ways it seems very characteristic of the kind of film shown in Sundance. Did you find that the US audience, or especially the Sundance audience, reacted different than the audience in Kalaviivari or in Munich? You told me you have been to Munich just before.
Yeah, I think even inside the United States, audiences responded differently from city to city, which was really great to see. A certain joke might really draw a big laugh in New York, and it's a different line that yields a big resonant laugh in San Francisco or in Seattle. So it's been interesting. When the film played in Park City in the Eccles Theater, it was a really crazy experience because it's such a big hall and no one had seen the film before but for myself and the creative team making it. There is a long tradition of road movies that come out of America and that come out of filmmakers from all over the world. It's funny because I don't think I've seen nearly as many people have seen. I've seen so few of them. I had such few references for this genre. And in a kind of very honest and coincidental way, whatever themes or tropes that are part of this canon, I feel like they just came out honestly when I was writing it, not in specific or as an intellectual reference to this body of work. So yes, there's many, as I look back now, many road films have gone through Sundance. Interestingly, I think first film that really got me thinking about this movie was the film Hard Eight by Paul Thomas Anderson, his first film. And that movie was part of the Sundance Labs, and that became Paul Thomas Anderson's first film. The scenes of John C. Reilly and Philip Baker Hall driving through the Nevada Basin, I think, were the earliest images of two people in a car that interested me. But I didn't know when I was 15, 16, watching this film, that it was a Sundance film. And I didn't know when I was 15 or 16 that I would also at some point make a film with the help of the Sundance Institute through the labs. We were part of the writer's lab and the directing lab, and in part financed our film through the Catalyst Forum. It all just happened organically. I wasn't trying to unpack the genre or subvert it or make specific commentary about it. I largely was pulling from my own experience traveling around the United States for the first time and experiencing these landscapes from the inside of a car through the window.
There's also a specific anecdote that you just told at the Q&A that inspired the film.
It's such a long story, so I always try and keep it short. I was a high school student in Beirut, in Lebanon. Our 10th grade English teacher told us a story from her personal life about driving her adult son across the deserts of Oregon. And as they were driving, this would have been in the 90s or the 80s, They were driving across the desert and they stopped at a payphone where there used to be these public telephones. And he got out of the car and went to the phone booth and looked up a number that they needed to reach. And he dialed the number and he couldn't get through. So he got back in the car and they kept driving many, many, many hours away. And that's when she learned that he had actually ripped one of the pages out of the phone book to save the number so he could try calling it somewhere else later. And she considered this a huge infraction and perhaps as a lesson to her students. And she was telling us this story in which she then drove all the way back. She made him drive all the way back with her many, many hours through the desert in the wrong direction they were not going to tape that ripped page back into the phone booth, back into the phone book. When I first heard that story as a 15, 16 year old sitting in English class, it struck me as a great idea for a road movie. That of course is not the movie you just watched, and that's not the film that your audience will see if they go to the cinema and watch our movie, but it is a story about a mother and her adult son, the lessons they impart on one another, and the things they both have to teach each other in their adulthoods.
Big theme of the film is also split parents who live on opposite ends of the United States. How did that resonate with your own life, and how did it grow into the story?
The fractured family dynamics in this work of fiction were interesting to me, for me to explore as a writer, and it helped to dramatize the plot. It gave them a motivation and a destination, and it gave these characters rich backgrounds for, you know, why things are the way they are. But both my parents have seen the film. They saw it actually at the premiere in Sundance, not knowing what they were about to witness. They happened to be in Texas visiting my brother the week we were premiering, so it became an opportunity for them to fly 2 hours north to Park City, Utah, where Sundance is held. It's funny, I was kind of afraid my dad wouldn't enjoy the movie, but he really, really expressed that he loved it. And after the movie, my mom told me something funny. She took me aside and she said, "MZ, there's too many F words," which I think is a really good...
That's a mom thing to say.
It's
that's
the
very
most quintessential and criticism from a mom. But I was interested in telling this story about a single mother who lives in a place that is not where she's from, raising her kid in a world that is foreign to her. And I drew on from my own experiences, alienation and cultural shock, moving to southern Indiana as a young adult, and simply infused them into our lead character, Layad. I say lead character, but this movie is very much so a two-hander. It's a duo. Her experience and the son's experience were ones that were very close to me. But the story of fractured family dynamics.
Tell us a little about the casting process.
The casting process on this film was quite a gift. I don't know if I'll get another chance at it this way again. I first started writing this movie with no actors in mind. In many ways, I wrote myself into a problem because I wrote a very specific character regarding the mother, Layal. I wrote a very specific character that I think so few people could play. I needed a person middle age, in their 50s, who speaks English, Arabic, French, but that their first language is not English. That really restricted options as we shot this film in the United States, working with the Screen Actors Guild. So the casting process was one that I got really lucky. Someone mentioned the name Lubna Azabel as I was still drafting versions of the script, and that's when it clicked. I had been a fan of hers since I was in high school, getting into cinema, sitting in that English class where my teacher told us that anecdote, watching voraciously movies. I was renting VHS and DVD tapes after class and watching a lot of things from all over the world. And so I had seen Lubna, her work. It was perfect when suggestion was made to me. And so I kind of adapted the script for her. I wrote with her in mind, hearing her voice, hearing her laugh, sent her an email with the script attached, which she responded a very keen, excited reply. I don't think, and our casting director, whose name is Anne Golder, replied to me about the email, and she said, "Wow, this is a dream email. This response you're getting is perfect. You got your first choice." And so that was a real lucky gift. When it comes to the other lead, Daniel, pure coincidence that they share a name, Daniel Zolgadri, the actor, and Daniel, the character. I went to a film in New York City at the Angelica, going to watch the film Tar, and I saw a preview for a movie called Funny Pages that released in 2023. And immediately from the teaser, I remember pointing pointing at the screen, and I was like, oh, that's Daniel, the actual, that he could play this character I've written. With Daniel, it was a really, again, our casting director reached out to his representatives, and then we had a very fortunate meeting as one of the producers and I were scouting locations for the film. We were passing through the city where Daniel lives in Kansas City, Missouri, in the middle of the country, and it was a snowy, ice-cold, snowy night, and we stopped off and just met Daniel and got to have pasta, met him, enjoyed a meal, and then we got back in our car and kept driving on. So it was a really nice moment that we got to meet in person, share a meal before he even read the script. The other character that was a real, where we really got lucky, was this character of Sasha, played by Dale Dickey. Confessedly, this role originally was written for a man, kind of inspired by some of the people I met along the way, traveling through the United States many years ago. We were having some issues with scheduling and timing, and the character on the page kind of, in any case, again, to the credit of the producers, someone suggested, what if we do a gender swap? And we work with our friend Dale Dickey, who we had all worked with on a film prior. I was an associate producer and worked on some of the original music compositions as a composer for the film A Love Song, which came out in 2022, starring Dale Dickey as the lead. And so Dale and I had a rapport. We were friendly we became fast friends on set, and I got to be a part of this movie in post-production as a composer. And so we immediately, it was a unanimous yes. Switching this role and giving it to Dale is like who Sasha must be. I'll save the last anecdotes about one of the other very important roles. The wonderful Gabe Fazio does a great job in the movie playing the father. Such a human and honest and tender role that so many people would be, I think, too afraid to embody. And he very, to the credit of Ann Golder, our casting director, we got wonderful tapes back from people, and Gabe did amazing readings of this role. I remember you could see like glimmer in his eyes. They were very wet, you know, just with emotion behind his eyes, he would speak. And even on my laptop or on my phone watching this self-recorded tape, immediately I knew that the way he was delivering these lines is so deeply tender that this is Daniel's father.
There's the saying in the film, God doesn't count time spent in hot water against you. What does it mean for you?
It's kind of this beautiful little mantra, a gesture at the idea of acknowledging that our time is finite. The only thing that's certain is death. If you can sort of postpone this as long as you choose to, that if you submerge in hot water and your nervous system calms, it's just a kind of beautiful sentiment, a kind of handshake with the universe that you say, maybe I'll be able to squeeze out a little bit more stolen time.
Do you already have a new project you are working on?
There's a lot of things swimming around in my head, but I am excited about a upcoming project that still is in its infancy. It's tricky to speak about it because it's such a fresh idea, but I'm curious to work on this wonderful dark comedy about a wedding set between two Lebanese families in which huge accident happens. This catastrophe occurs at the wedding and it has to move to the hospital. And the rest of the movie is this sort of beautiful love story about bombastic, funny, kind of outrageous tale about two families and two people navigating the aftermath of this arranged marriage. And it's a film about tradition, family, and the institution of love.
Just very quickly, if people can take one thing away from your new film, Hot Water, what would you hope it to be?
It does bring me joy when I see the film again with audiences and I'm reminded to slow down and to imbibe and enjoy, you know, hot water and the loved ones we have in our lives, found and otherwise. And I also, it brings me joy when people, after the film is over, come up to me and say how they enjoyed the music. I was very lucky to get to work on the music with co-composer James Elkington. And so if audiences come out of this trip and feel like they listened to a cool mixtape they would listen to driving across on a long, long ride, or if they remember, I should send my mom a text. I wanted to share a lot of these beautiful places with my friends back home who hadn't seen them. And so I hope it transports audiences. I hope it's a passage to these expansive places that it kind of washes over with laughs, drama, and music.
Thank you so much for this interview, Ramzi Bashour. Hot Water is now at Kalawiwari, and as soon as it gets a German cinematic release, you can read about it at Movie Break. So thank you, Ramzi.
Thank you.